It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart," this, you got to say it in your heart. If you don't say it in your heart, you don't really believe it. "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God." Boy, did I see that yesterday, folks. Oh, my goodness. Got so much to speak with you about today. I want to caution you a minute. I don't want to come on here every day and go up and down and beat about abortion. I don't want to, but it's just a hot topic right now, okay? I know some of you maybe get kind of tired of hearing about it, but there's some there's a cataclysmic spiritual fight going on right in front of us, and we cannot ignore it. We have to see exactly what's going on. And got a lot of stuff I want to dive into today. Right off the bat, I don't know if you guys saw that in Texas, the abolitionist bill, the guy that's the head of the committee said it's not coming out of committee. So all those 300 people who showed up down there and spoke, stayed up and dedicated their time and effort to go down there was for naught because of political reasons. Let there be known. I'm going to come back to that. Spiritual war. So, folks, why would it be so hard? Whatever happened to us that we don't love babies? My microphone's clear. I'm sorry. It's the very heart of it. That's the issue. Why don't I will ascend? I will. 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 I me 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 my mo 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 me me me. What has happened to us? Our spiritual moral equilibrium is absolutely totally off kilter in the United States of America. There's only one thing to call it that you can blame. You can't blame the devil. You have to blame those of us who have been called by God to be the beacons of truth. Those who said, Jared, go to Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, real quickly. I'm sorry, it's on me. I'm going to get this off of me, and then we can move on with the show. Matthew chapter 5. It's so apparent. It's not... I'm not mad at the abortionists. I'm not mad at the homosexuals. I'm not mad at the Democrats. They're just being what they're supposed to be. They're just lost people trying to exert their lost will. That's all they are. I'm not mad at them. Jared, I'm trying to find it here. Did you get it up there on the screen for me, buddy? Matthew, it doesn't matter. Matthew chapter 5 says, there it comes. Thanks, Jared. It says, the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they which are pure. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor, it cannot be salty again. And if there's no salt, if the salt is no good, it's therefore the gospel is no good. It's thenceforth good for nothing at all, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Folks, they're walking on the truth of the gospel. And the only ones who have been assigned with the job of shining the light and being the salt and the light are those of us who carry the name of Christ. Verse 14 says, you are a light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light where? Into all the house. So great failure of the Christian church. That's what it is. Every way you look, look all around you. I was captivated all morning today with some of the research I was doing. Everywhere you look, the devil is riding herd, man. In the church, I went to the Heartbeat Hearing yesterday. Taking a poll of how many pastors were in the room. Probably not very many. Let me backtrack here a second. Don't go away. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great one. Hey, Occupy's this weekend. Occupy 2019. Now, listen, I hope it doesn't sound like I'm begging people to come. If I'm begging people to come, it's because I know how good this is going to be, and I don't want you to miss out. This is going to be fabulous. I spent some time speaking with Mark Harrington yesterday about the whole abortion issue, abortion 101, and the presentation he's going to make, and it's going to be fabulous, and it's just all going to be so good. And again, you say, well, Coach, those aren't big name preachers. Well, maybe they're not. $49. Listen, if you're going to come tomorrow, pay today. It's going to save you $20 and saves us a headache. We do have, if you're out there, one of those, you say, Coach, I want to come. And last minute, I want to come. Hey, we still have two rooms that in our block that you get a hold of me and I can connect you up with two rooms. I think they're $89 a night plus tax. We have two rooms that I got to know by noon because we're going to have to do something else with those two rooms. So if that's one of you and you got you and your friend or you and your wife or something coming, we have room. Email me, coach@coachdavelive.com. Say, Coach, we want to be there. Live streaming. Now, listen, this is important. We are doing live streaming, and here's what we're going to do. If you make a donation, if you go online and you make a donation to go to coachdavelive.com and make a donation of any kind, whatever you feel in your budget, we are going to give you not only live streaming, but access to all of the presentations forever. We're going to give you a password that's going to give you into the back room where all of our stuff is stored, and you will be able to sit home and rewatch everything that you saw live. Or if you're watching it live, you can stream and watch it live as well. And then when you get home, let's say, you know, Coach, I can't spend all day sitting in front of my, I can't spend all day doing it. Okay, well, that's why we're giving you the ability to have it archived as well, that you can watch it afterwards for any type of donation. Yeah, you can give a dollar and get it. Yes, if you that chance, you can do it. But just help us to get the word out more. Right there on Occupy 2019, there's a live stream thing, tells you how to do it. It's content password protected. As soon as you give it to us, you have the live stream and the archive. The live stream and the archive. We are probably not going to do DVDs this year. It's just too expensive for everybody involved with it. And we're going to give you access to the back, whatever they call that, back door into our system, where you will be able to watch every one of these presentations at your own leisure. Okay? Any type of donation. And then after you make that donation, you need to send me an email, say, Coach, I made a donation. I want to sign up for that live stream. So you do that. Mike, is there anything else that I've forgotten there technologically that people need to do to be able to get in, Mike or Jared or somebody? Just go to the live stream and click on that, and then it takes it from there. Is that how it works?
Going here. Once you donate, you'll receive an email with the password, and then also on the website itself, once you donate, it'll pop up with the password right there on the website as soon as your payment is processed. So that's it. It's that easy.
Okay. Cool. All right. So, man, if thing starts on Friday, it's going to be great. I just try to get it. And remember, if you want that, if you want to stay in the reduced Hotel California for $25 a night, it's a bunk beds in a campground. You got to let us know that too, so we can make those arrangements. Coach@coachdavelive.com. Trying to put all that together. So, I want to move on. I got a lot to talk about. It's a big event. I'm excited. We've been looking forward to it. It's going to rock. Excuse me. So yesterday, again, we went to the heartbeat bill, the hearing. I want to give credit to Mark Harrington because I don't do the politics thing. I can't stand to go. I just can't do it. I can't argue with the foolishness of it. I just can't argue with it. I can't take it. But Mark said, no, you need to be there. So Mike Blake and I partnered up, and we sat in the gallery for the whole two and a half hours of foolishness debate that was going on in that gallery. It was amazing. Do you know, folks, I'm not making this up. There was a lady yesterday. I don't know where she, by lady, I'm talking about an elected official. The only people who spoke yesterday were elected officials. We were up in the balcony. They were down on the, we got to sit there and listen to it. Oh yeah. The pro boards, they packed the place. They're so organized. I tip my hat to them, man. They're organized. Golly, for the most part, they're kicking the butt of the church. Church don't even know what's going on. Pro boards are there. A lady from Cleveland, I'm not making this up, a lady from Cleveland offered an amendment to the heartbeat bill. You know what the amendment was? I'm not making it up. She wanted to exempt all African-American women from the bill. The heartbeat bill would not apply to black babies.
Let me guess, she was an African-American politician.
You know she was. Now, Paul, I'm thinking if a white guy had made that thing, listen, we're not going to kill any white babies with a heartbeat, but hey, black babies, kill them. Go for it. Paul, it was, and you know what it is? I got it up over here. Bear with me a second.
She probably still would support it.
She probably would. We have two things. I've made my own notes over here. We have.
Well, here's the scary thing. All babies are actually born white.
Yeah, they are, Dale. We have fools in government. We have fools in government. And I sat there yesterday and I listened to these fools. These fools. I'll say it again in case you didn't hear me. These people are fools who are making our laws. The fools. And I was amazed by how many of them were under the age of 40. Foolish women. And that was, aren't we warned about that in 2 Timothy? Foolish women. The arguments that they made for killing a baby, and it comes down to this, there are really only two reasons. There are two legitimate reasons in the whole abortion debate that somehow I could say, I see your point. Rape and incest. I see the point. When they make that argument. That's the only argument that they have. The rest of it's foolishness. Economics. Woman, 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 women, 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 women's rights, men, men, women, 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 women. It's unbelievable for 2.5 hours. It goes on and on and on, as if these women don't know how not to get pregnant. They don't know how not to get pregnant, right? Nobody ever on that side mentions the baby. Never. We let them get away with it. If that's why I start out with the five I wills. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. I, me, my. Thank God some Republicans had enough stones to stand up and speak the truth. There's some powerful moments from some Republicans yesterday. One guy gets up and on the Democrat side says, this is just going to cost us, like they care about money, right? This is going to cost us all millions of dollars to defend this. This is going to be sued. We're going to be sued, and it's going to cost us millions. We should not be wasting the taxpayers' dollars defending something we know. Yada, 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 yada. Then Ron Hood, one of the good guys, Ron Hood stands up and said, yeah, we're going to be sued. We want to be. We want them to sue. We want this to go to the Supreme Court. God bless Ron Hood for saying that. So anyway, the vote was cast. The heartbeat bill passed. Are you ready? 56-40. 50, can you get, that's a blowout football. Isn't that a blowout? Why do we have to sit there for 2.5 hours and listen to those people pontificate? 56-40 was the final vote. And then immediately after the vote was over, they took the bill to the Senate, who was in session too. And 5 minutes after the House passed it, it went to the Senate and they passed it. 16-13, the heartbeat bill goes to the Governor DeWine for a signature. And a stat that came out that I thought was pretty amazing, 275,000 babies would be alive today had their heartbeat bill been passed 5 years ago. Now, you can say it's incrementalism, we protect all babies. 275 people, that's a hunk of lives, isn't it? That's a hunk of lives that would be alive today.
But, Coach,
yeah.
The thing about the generations with that, that's not just multiply that by the kids that they may have had. You're talking millions upon millions.
I'm with you, Paul, but those little babies wouldn't have children yet. That's the only reason I excluded that. But yeah. I'm with you. And at the same time, the abolitionist bill down in Texas gets killed. It gets killed. Can you believe that? They never saw more pro-lifers ever in their life show up down there in Texas. And they still. That's what the politicians do to it. You know why the politicians, you know why they killed the bill? Why the guy said he killed the bill in Texas? Because he doesn't think the women should be punished. They've been punished enough. Hey, dudes, premeditated murder. Premeditated murder when you abort your baby. Do you know this? That the Supreme Court said back in 1973 when they first passed Roe versus Wade, one of the justices, I think it was Potter Stewart, although I could be wrong on it, said, you guys don't even believe your own bill. If you don't want to, if you don't think there ought to be a penalty associated with it, if you don't think the death penalty ought to be applied to this, and you don't even believe it's a baby, you don't even believe what you're saying. And so they're passing them. Can you imagine we pass a law with no punishment? Woman's been punished enough. Hey, dude, how'd she get punished? She spread her legs. She got impregnated. She didn't take the pill. She didn't do any of that stuff. She got impregnated. Now she wants to kill the baby and she's a victim? What? So anyway, I'll move on beyond this. I want you guys to see this. Here's a question I'm going to throw on the table. I'm going to come back to. I'm going to come back to this. Should women be punished? Should a woman that shows how far we've fallen, hasn't it? Isn't that two systems of justice? If a woman kills her baby, she's not punished. But if I wreck my car and kill her baby, I'm punished. But she can kill it. And these people can't even see the discrepancy. So Jared, go to my Facebook.
Hey, Coach. If you wreck your car and don't kill a baby, you'll get punished.
That's true. Maybe a woman doesn't get punished. So I'm going to take you to my Facebook page because here I want to set the scene for you. The room when the vote is, they do all the yakking for two hours. When all the yakking's over, the vote came up real quickly. I mean, it came up like the speaker said, call for a question, and everybody goes and hits their buttons, and the score comes up, and it's, I think it ended up 56-40, I think is what it was. But it was as soon as that vote was taken, that room erupted, and all the pro-aborts jumped out, and they unfurled banners, and they were screaming and hollering. And the whole time the thing was going on, the pro-aborts, of course, are organized. Christians are off hiding someplace. I don't know where the Christians are. But down in the lobby, the whole time the hearing's going on, they are chanting out in the lobby for 2.5 hours. Now, folks, they're all young, for the most part, young girls. Young girls. I don't know who's gathering these young girls and getting them there, but they're getting them there. I tip my cap, man. They're organized. And the whole time the hearing is going on, we could hear them chanting. So as soon as it's over, boom, the vote's made 56-40. I played a lot of football, played a lot of basketball, played a lot of baseball, 56 us. Is this not a scoreboard? Yes, this is a scoreboard. Is that not a winning team? Yes, that is a losing team. Is that not 56? Yes, that is 56. Is that not 40? Yes, that is 40. 56-40. 56-40. Winning team, losing team. Winning team, losing team. That's the way I felt when I walked out of there. There was a scoreboard. We won 56-40. And you walk down, and Jared, show the video of what we walked into when we walked down the bottom of the steps. This is about 6 minutes. Go ahead. I'm sorry, it's on my face. There's two of them. Jared, I'm having a hard time finding you today on my screen. That's why it would be the there you are. Why are you clear down there, man? Why are you clear? That's the one. Yes. We won't go back, they're chanting. We won't go back. We won't go back. Although they are going back. Go ahead.
we just witnessed the passing of the heartbeat bill here in the state of Ohio. Whether you're for it or not, I can tell you this, the pro-aborts are angry. Again, whatever your feelings are about heartbeat bills and whether you think it's not sufficient, I can tell you this, the pro-aborts are ticked off. Thanks, guys. Oh, are they ever mad? The pro-aborts. People say, well, it's incrementalism and it doesn't work. Don't tell those guys. And it was an amazing day as I step outside. Mike Blake and I are getting out of here. Folks, it's crazy. I'm telling you. Oh, my God, the demons are loose. Oh, the demons are loose. It's unbelievable. But I can tell you this. It was a stab right into the heart of the pro-abortion movement. I don't know whether that means, we all want the end of abortion. And abortion's not ended. But I can tell you something. There's some wild and crazy, vicious pro-aborts in there who are bloodthirsty and bloodlustful. Wow. So, vote was like 56 to, I don't know what it was, because there was the pro-aborts, they unfurled some banners and they started screaming and hollering everything right at the beginning of it. So I couldn't hear the scoreboard, which we do go by scoreboard still, don't we? But I think it was 56. I think it was 56 yeses and maybe 40 noes. It was a blowout, okay? It was a blowout. So the heartbeat bill now passed the House. It's going to go to the Senate maybe today. The governor will sign it. For those out there who are, say, well, it's incrementalism and all that, should have been in that room. I'm telling you this, the pro-aborts saw it as a loss. Ain't no doubt about it. God bless you.
The pro-aborts saw it as a loss. There ain't no doubt about it, baby. And I know that these bills are being introduced all across America. I understand the whole incrementalism idea. I'm telling you, folks, The worm has turned. This is not the America that Roe versus Wade was passed in 1973. This is not even the America that was around 2 years ago when Donald Trump got elected. There is a momentum moving like we have never seen in my lifetime. The pendulum has begun to swing back like I've never seen it. Open it up. Come on in here for a second. Anybody?
And that coach it's happening because Donald Trump, before the election, took a stand and made the statement of they rip the babies out of the womb. They rip the babies out of the womb. And he took a stand, and that right there, I believe, is what won him the election.
Me too. Hey, Jared, pull up real quickly, Trump showing Gosnell. Did you guys know this? I know some of you probably did. Donald Trump, the president of the United States, is viewing in the White House tomorrow a screening of the Gosnell movie. When Donald Trump sees the Gosnell movie and what goes on in abortion, I'm telling you, folks, something's happening here. What it is, exactly clear. Huh?
With seeing the Gosnell movie, and then if he sees the unplanned movie.
That's what I'm telling you, man. There's something that's going on here, buddy. Something's going on. And you know what's going on, folks? The fools in government are humanists. The humanists are running government. Let me make this point real quick.
Amen, Dave. Amen. Remember,
I'm going to switch gears with you here just a second. Look, we have to be smart enough to understand this. They try to throw at us our religion. In fact, I heard many of the senators or elected officials yesterday talk about my personal faith. My faith says this. My faith says that. See, here's what it is. They're allowed to use their humanism or their opinion they're allowed to bring their version of their belief onto the House floor. But don't you bring that Bible and that Jesus in there. They're allowed to bring their religion in, but we're not allowed to bring ours in. And the righteous are as bold as lions, and evil men flee when no one pursues. And until we begin to fight with the sword and begin to stand up and push back and call them out for what they are, we are not going to win. I don't know if you guys, I don't have time to play it today. Candace Owens in front of the Congress the other day. Oh my goodness. The righteous are bold. Speak the truth. Call it what it is. Now, before I get too far down the road here, I'm going to bring in Austin Beigel, a young guy I coached in down at Fairfield Christian Academy when I was the football coach down there. I only coached Austin. Was it 2 years, Austin? I can't remember. Time goes so fast in my life. And one day I showed up at football practice and took a picture of an aborted baby out there. And I showed the guys and said, this is what I do. This is what real men fight against. I'm just kind of paraphrasing it because it's just something I did. I said, this is what we fight against, this kind of stuff. Lo and behold, I didn't know this. Austin was so impacted by it. Well, I'll let him tell the story. And I sat by it, and Austin sat right in front of me yesterday. He is now a full-time labor missionary, if you will, with Created Equal, Mark Harrington's group. Lexi's going to become one. Tom Dunn's daughter, Evangeline's one. Austin Beigel is one. Austin, come on in here a second, if you can, and just tell your story and what has motivated you. By the way, folks, one of the reasons I'm bringing Austin in here is he's raising support to try to do this full time. He's not some flunky, man. Not some flunky. This is the kind of guy that we want to train up to fight for America and fight for the preborn. And so I just want Austin to be able to tell his story here real quickly. Austin, floor is yours, brother. Tell us about what happened down there when we held up that football.
Sure. Yeah. Good morning, everyone. My name is Austin. I work for Mark Harrington at Created Equal now. So when I was a sophomore in high school about 6 years ago, I was playing under coach. And I grew up in one of those Christian families that just go to church every Sunday. And that was about it. And I'd never thought about abortion before, never even heard the word probably. And so when I got out of practice that one day and saw that image, it's the one of the baby in the tray who's been killed by the abortion. And that just, it hit me so hard. I'd never seen anything like that before. You know, I was homeschooled, grew up and then went to private school, and just being exposed to that evil. And, you know, it made me sick to my stomach. And I didn't really say anything to coach about it. I just went home that night and I started praying. And I couldn't get that picture out of my mind.
So 15 or 16 year old kid, imagine this, huh? Go on, Austin.
Yeah, that's why it's, you know, these images are so powerful, and we don't really realize the effects it always has on people when we show them. But, you know, I was praying to God that night, and I was getting almost frustrated or angry at God, kind of challenging, like, you know, why are you allowing this to happen, God? And, you know, I just felt a conviction that's, you know, I was asking the wrong question. It was, you know, why am I allowing this to happen? Right. This is my responsibility as a Christian to stop these things. And so I asked God, I said, Lord, I'm sorry for my apathy, for not doing anything. You know, my ignorance isn't an excuse for allowing this to happen. And I prayed that if he would use me in this ministry, you know, provide a way. I had no idea. You know, I'm 16 years old. I had no idea what I'm supposed to do to end abortion. I just offered it up to God. And then Mark Harrington came to my high school about 2 or 3 months later after the football season. And they did a training there at my high school. And, you know, I went out and started doing this on universities. I went to Ohio University for the first time, and I took that image and I stood by it. And just showing the truth about abortion to people and having those dialogues. The first guy I ever talked about with abortion, dude was covered in piercings and tattoos all over his face, and he was an admitted Satanist. And so that was the first experience. I'm 16 years old. That was the first time I'd ever talked to anyone about abortion in my life, and that's what I dealt with. And after that one day of ministry, I was hooked. The Lord just grabbed a hold of my heart, and he wouldn't let me look back. And so since then, you know, I did 5 of their justice rides. I did the internship. But after I graduated high school, it came to the point where I was still looking for what I was going to do with my life. And the thought of going into full-time ministry, having to fundraise, all that stuff, it, you know, to be honest, it scared me. And I didn't have support from my family. They didn't really want me to do that. They thought I was a little kind of extremist and crazy and all that. And so, unfortunately, I was influenced by that and my fear. You know, coaches talked about, you know, some of these type of rapture waiters. and that's kind of the family system I grew up in where, you know, just, oh, the rapture's, you know, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, my family would always say it. So they thought I was nuts for going out and doing this stuff. And I did let that influence me. So I enlisted in the Army with the ROTC program. Swore the oath of enlistment, contracted to do that, and it was kind of my getaway, you know, telling God, hey, look, I'm still going to do something good. I'm still going to save lives, even though I was afraid to go down the path you actually directed me to go down. So I did that. You know, I always like to say that the Lord uses a bent stick to strike a straight blow. And so he took my fear in that situation, and my time in the Army really, really shaped me, gave me a lot of leadership qualities and all of that. It was a great experience. But the Lord didn't let me go down that path. So about 2 years ago, out of nowhere, I was doing really good. I was top of the class in the ROTC program. You know, I won some awards and everything and starting to get all proud of myself and all that. And I get back from some training in Fort Knox and I have just some just excruciating leg pains down by my calves. And I end up getting diagnosed with something called chronic exertional compartment syndrome. And it's a genetic muscular disorder where when I exercise, once your muscles hit a certain muscle mass, my blood flow wouldn't be sufficient. So all my training in the Army, all the muscle I'd put on was actually causing this disorder. And I ended up getting medically discharged. You know, my whole career dreams just crumbled before my eyes. I had 6 leg surgeries. I still have lost a lot of feeling in my legs. So dealing with medical issues there, but through the whole thing, I saw God guiding me back into this ministry. As crazy as it sounds, I'm the 21st male in the world to be diagnosed with this disorder. It's very, very rare. And God used it the whole way to point me back into this pro-life ministry. And as soon as it started happening, and I was having these surgeries and they weren't working, nothing was fixing it. You know, I felt this burden back on my heart and, you know, cause I tried to push this ministry out of my mind, cause I didn't want to face that fear. But the Lord, man, he put such a burden on my heart. I was not able to run even to do something, you know, noble, like serve my country. You know, he wouldn't let me run from this calling. And I was born with some genetic disorder I never knew I had until I got to this point. Wow. And so as I get medically discharged, I knew like I can't run anymore. There's nothing else I can do with my life. So I went right back to Mark Harrington and said, sorry, I left. Here I am. I'm in it for good. And so,
amen. So you got married. You're married. How old are you?
I'm 22. I got married at 21.
22 years old, married. Folks, this is the kind of guy that we need to support, right? We look around at everything that's going on in America, the youth of America, and here we got one focused, and Austin needs support. He is a missionary to America and to those unborn babies. And so I brought him on this morning. Austin, well, I'm going to start supporting you, and I pray that maybe some of the others who are listening to us right now are going to be able to do this. What is it that you're going to do at Created Equal, Austin? What really goes on behind the scenes at Created Equal?
Yeah, Coach. Well, we're spending a lot of time on the road. Right now we're doing the road trip for life. I'm leaving for Michigan and Wisconsin this weekend. I'll be out for 2 weeks. And we're taking these images and we do three or four outreaches a day. We're going to the abortion facility in the morning, preaching the gospel, trying to save lives there. Then we had
training young people, right, Austin? Taking young people with you and training them.
Yes. Yeah. So we'll go to, you know, church groups and speak to them. We'll go to high schools and we'll do these presentations about the horrors of abortion and how people need to wake up, you know, just spread that message. We can't act like we're not living in a genocide. I say there's no such thing as a normal life when every day there's a baby getting its head crushed.
Amen.
A few miles
Amen.
Down the road from you. You can't live a normal life. There's no such thing as a normal day.
God bless you, Austin.
We're just pushing that message, taking these images of abortion, just saying, wake up. We got to get people doing something. Because I'm telling you, there's 500 people outside these abortion facilities, they'd lose their mind. They'd shut down for the day. People like to sleep and act like
we saw yesterday, didn't we, Austin? We saw the enemy yesterday. We saw how rabid they are for innocent blood. And, brother, we got to raise up a standard against it. Austin, how do people... how do they help you, Austin? How do they donate or support you monthly or however they would do it?
Sure. Yeah, you can. I'll put my email address in the chat. You just email me austin@createdequal.org. And I'll send you the link. You can just go to createdequal.org and go to their team page and find my picture and click support Austin, or just email me and I'll direct you there.
Or you can email me, folks, and I'll direct you there as well. Sure. And you just need people to give you 20, 25, 30, 50 bucks a month because you're trying to feed a family and serve the Lord at the same time. Is that right, Austin? You're a missionary.
I'm just looking to live a real frugal life, but I got to live. I'm just looking for, $2,500 a month total. And I've been fundraising for the last few months and I'm not there yet. I'm not at the point where I can make it through the year.
And it sucks. Doesn't it, Austin? You hate asking people for money. You hate asking people, take some of that money that you're giving to your fake church and send it to Austin Beigel. Okay. Do that for me. And, if you can't get a hold of Austin, again, it was Austin, AUSTIN@createdequal.org. If you can't go through him, contact me. I'll connect you with Austin. God bless you, Austin. You make me proud. And, Lexi's going to be pairing up with you guys down there and Tom Dunn's daughter, mm-hmm. Evangeline. And wow, folks, frontline soldiers, young. Frontline soldiers, man. God bless you, Austin. Thanks for joining us here. By the way, Austin listens to the show almost every day here. Bless you. Anybody want to comment at all for Austin before we move on?
God bless you, Austin.
Thank you.
Amen, buddy. Amen.
Yeah, one last thing. As Coach was talking about some of these ridiculous arguments they're saying on the floor yesterday, exempting African-American women from this bill. I mean, one thing that's so clear that we see out on the front lines when you do this work is the reasoning of people who are not in Christ is so corrupted.
Oh my goodness.
And we say, Jesus Christ died not only to save souls from hell, but he died to save our reasoning and our mind now.
Thank you, Lord.
We have to understand without this restoration of our hearts and minds, we are those people. And so, even as I face the most vile things out on the street, I think, there, but by the grace of God go I. Without God saving, salvation on my soul, I am that person. And so even as we're facing some of the most vile things I could ever imagine, like abortion, I have to realize that that's me without Christ. And so,
let me make sure I make this very clear, Austin. When you saw the image of the aborted baby, it changed your life. The picture changed your life.
Absolutely. That's what it was.
The picture changes life. Roger Austin. Weaver. Come on in, Roger.
Hey, Austin. Real quick question, and I don't mean to change the topic too much, but tell the men on the huddle, what was it like to have a man like Dave as your coach?
Well, I grew up in a family of like the rapture waiters, and Coach ripped me out of that family and, really showed me what it's like to be in God's family and a man of God. And, I only played under him for a year and a half before the school gave him the boot. But it was life-changing. I mean, here I am as a result. And we see the other people lining up under Created Equal, like Coach has mentioned, Lexi Hall and Evangeline Dunn. The Lord uses Coach in ways, he doesn't always get to see. Some of the fruits are before him now, but I remember texting Coach for the first time, after he left, and I said, "Coach, I've been really involved in Created Equal." Coach probably didn't know that, and that was years ago. And I said, "That was just because you showed that picture. I never talked to you." And I texted him 2 years later and said, "These are all the fruits that you never got to know about." And so the stuff Coach does through his ministry, and it is life changing, and it's crazy. People like Lexi Hall coming from Texas, never even. I got to hear her testimony on the justice ride from Created Equal. Man, that is fantastic. We'd love to have her on maybe one day over the summer when she's here in Ohio. Yeah.
It's a tag team handoff, isn't it, folks? I'm running my race, and as I'm running my race, as you're running your race, who are you handing the baton to? Who are you handing it to? Who's going to pick it up and go with it? We run with patience the race that is set before us, with Christ as the author and the finisher of our faith, and we run to win. We run to win, but we have to pass that baton. It's a tag team handoff, and I get to pass a baton to Austin Beigel, and I get to pass a baton to Evangeline Dunn. I get to pass a baton to Lexi Hall. Who are you? Pass the baton. Find somebody and pass the baton. Us old folks, we're not going to be around forever, man. Folks, listen. Bill, please give into the life of this next generation of guys, men, and women who are willing to do what we would not do. They're willing to do it now. And it's our obligation to put meat bread on the table for them. Anybody else? Bless you, Austin. It's been powerful, man.
Well, Coach, something that you said there about the baton race, if you know anything about that, the handoff is the most crucial part about the race. Amen. Brother, we have failed this. It has been failed to us, and we have failed it because we have not properly handed off the true doctrine of Jesus Christ. And, brother, we have stumbled and fell in the street.
You know, Dale, that is that folks, I saw yesterday. And Austin, you can come in here if you want to, or anybody. I don't care who comes in. It's that, you know, I saw yesterday people claiming to be Christians in the house on the floor, elected officials claiming to be Christians, wanting to kill babies. How has Christianity gotten to that point that we have forgotten greater love has no man than this, than he would lay down his life for his friends? How have we raised up a generation of young people who see their life, Christian people, see their life more valuable than somebody else's life? We are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. We are dead people. And if we have laid our lives down for the cause of Christ, and we are not willing to sacrifice our own joys and our own hopes and our own wishes and our own pleasures, if we're not able to sacrifice those for others, then we are not really Christians. I'm sorry, we're not. And to see these people stand up in that gallery down, now we're in the gallery, whatever they call that, down on the floor in the well, maybe that's what they call it. These people talking about their faith and then wanting to kill babies is unbelievable. Woman, 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 my rights, my rights, my rights, women, women, it is unbelievable. Jezebel is alive and well. Wow, somebody come in here and rescue me this morning.
Hey, Coach, you remember what Brother Lowell said yesterday when he was talking about the orphans and all that stuff? Read Exodus 22, Coach, verse 22 through 24.
Get that up there for us, Jared. Exodus 22,
22 yep.
through 24.
Yes, sir.
I saw that on your video, I think, this morning, didn't I? I think I did, Alan. Jared hides from me on my press. There it is. Exodus 22. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. And folks, I've made this point over and over again. When a woman goes to an abortion clinic, and she goes alone without her boyfriend or her husband or whoever impregnated her, she is a widow. Now, she did it to herself, right? She fornicated and she got herself in that mess. But let there be no doubt, she's a widow. And I'm going to tell you something else. That's a fatherless child. That is an orphan, okay? Until you go and stand outside an abortion clinic, you ain't going to get it. You're going to be feeling sorry for the woman. Can I tell you something? I don't feel sorry for the women going in there. They fornicated their way into the mess. Okay? They fornicated their way into the mess that they found themselves in. And now they want to kill the baby because they couldn't control their libido.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, go ahead.
It's just like the Me Too movement. They aren't victims. They're participants in this.
They're victims. They're not victims, Benny. If you shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child, if you afflict them in any way, and they cry at all unto me, I'm going to hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot. And I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. That, boys and girls, that be the word of God right there. That's what he thinks about the way we treat the widows and the fatherless, the women and orphans in their time of need. So let me throw it out there. We got 13 minutes left here.
Thus, we have American Christianity in conflict with biblical Christianity.
Oh, Dale, don't we ever. Hey, should a woman be charged with a crime for aborting her baby, or is she a victim? I'd like to hear from you right now.
She's guilty. Think? Brother, and the word of the Lord says an unrepented thing, the sword will never leave their house. Brother, this thing is going to be upon them. Brother, she is guilty of murder.
Should she be treated as guilty of murder? Somebody else, come on in here.
Coach, if you think about it, when you read them scriptures, he's really calling out men of God. Because like you said, the women's in there, women, 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 women. God's calling the men out because he says, when I kill you, he was talking to the men that's supposed to be men of God.
That's right, brother. That's right, brother. And the job of a man is to do what? To provide and protect. That baby is his baby. Huh? Maybe there ought to be a penalty. Maybe there ought to be a penalty for a father that don't father his kids. Maybe there ought to be a penalty for that as well. Women, 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 women. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen, coach.
Yep, yep. Not just taking their money. There ought to be a penalty for it. I don't know what it would be. See, now, oh, this would be good for the right-wing watch. No prisons. Let's stop putting people in prison, okay? Let's stop doing that. That doesn't help anybody unless they're violent offenders. I get that. But let's start punishing people. Like what? Well, in other countries, they cane them. You know that? Remember that? Caning people, physically punishing them, not putting them in jail for 7 years. What good does that do? Destroys their family, doesn't help the person who's been the victim, the person who's been offended. Them being in jail doesn't do anything. Restitution. Oh, Lord, we're so lost. I'm so lost.
Hey, Coach.
Come on in here. Yep.
Here's a meme that you're going to love that's been going on Facebook. It says, abortion inflicts pain on all lives involved, including the life of an abortion clinic worker. Now, if you take that, these are like this whole victim mentality that the women are victim, the abortion clinic workers are the victim. Take this same quote and let's put rape in there. You say, rape inflicts pain on all lives involved, including the life of the rapist. Now we see how ridiculous that sounds.
Mm.
But we're acting like all these people involved in the abortions are all victims. You know, when they're the ones doing the murder, if you take this another right. immoral thing like rape and say the rapist is also a victim of his mindset, that it's absurd, and we need to be treating this what it is, and calling it out with, you know, the backing of the Bible, which gives us our standard for what is right and wrong.
Well, that's what these pro-life
movements are trying to divorce Christ from their movement, and you can't explain why something is wrong without going to the standard of the Bible.
Jared, pull up my commentary for the day. I think I got a no morality, government by opinion. I just want to read. This is one I posted today. Austin, thanks for bringing that up, because I just got to read this here real quickly to you, okay? It says, our ministry gives me the opportunity to interact. This is available at Coach Dave Live. Interact on a regular basis with non-believers. It's one of the most rewarding things that I do. I love explaining Christianity to non-Christians. When referring to a non-believer, I'm simply not talking about an atheist, but rather someone who does not understand and embrace the fundamentals of Christianity. Some people refer to themselves as atheists, but I don't really believe that they're really a true atheist. All people believe in some type of higher power, whether it be a guy of force, a God, or LeBron James, but the true atheist is hard to find. Agnostic would be a better term to describe non-believers. Agnostics believe in a higher power, but they're not sure what that higher power is or what form you may find it. That is where you find most Americans living. They believe in something, but they don't know exactly what it is that they have fallen their faith in. That includes many self-identified Christians. They believe in Jesus, but they can't really tell you why or what they believe. Sadly, our churches have done a horrible job of explaining Christianity to those who claim it. That is why we see so many who really can't give a belief system, a defense of their faith. They are, in the truest sense, Christian agnostics. Gnostic means to know. Put an A in front of Gnostic and you get not to know. Christians who don't know are those who don't understand what they claim to believe, and America's churches are full of them. Somebody say amen. You don't have to. I hear you. Listen to the discussion. This is where I wanted to go. Just last week, I was having a discussion with a group of high school students when one indignant snowflake blurted out, "So you don't think atheists are good people?" I chuckled under my breath as I thought how to respond. "Well, how do you define good?" "Well, you know, kind to people, moral, always trying to do the right thing." I scratched my salt and pepper goatee and asked, "Well, how do you know what's the right thing? Who determines for you what is good? What is the standard that you use to measure your goodness?" Her eyes bounced from side to side. She thought how to respond. "I follow laws and leave people alone. I treat people the way I want to be treated. I'm not judgmental." "Well, that's great," I retorted, "but who says those are good things that you do? Who determines for you what's right and what's wrong?" "Society," she snorted back. "Society determines what's right and wrong. That's why we have laws, you know." "Well, where do laws come from?" I asked. "Well, government makes them. We the people do. We all know that." "Well, where does government get the standards that they use to make laws? How do they know if the law they are making is a good or bad law? In fact, how do they know that we need laws at all?" "Well, we the people determine right and wrong. I already said that. We're society determinant. So do you think that blacks are less than human?" I asked. "That used to be the law of the land. Do you believe that women should be able to vote? The law used to say they couldn't. If society changes its minds about right and wrong, does that imply that right and wrong are constantly changing? And if that is true, how do you know if you're a good person? What is your standard if the standards keep changing?" "I don't know about all that, but I know what I believe, and I don't need some old man in the sky to tell me what to think. I treat people well, and I'm a good person." He stomped away. Jesus told us there were none that were good. No, not even one. So I'm going to stop right there, folks, because see, that's our problem. We have no moral standard or basis, right? How can something be right? In other words, how could abortion be wrong up until 1973, and then all of a sudden it'd be right? And then today we overturn it and it becomes wrong again. That's a constant evolving humanistic standard. We have got to, if we are going to be able to continue, we're not a Christian nation. We are a nation founded on Christian ethics. It's not the same. And if we continue to withdraw, if all of the God haters, baby killers show up like they did yesterday, and all the pastors and Christians stay home, we have no chance of victory. That's a cry of my heart to awaken you and to awaken the body of Christ to stand up and fight for what's going on, because we cannot go on anymore with government merely being an opinion. And that's what we're doing. Somebody come on in.
That was a good word. I read that this morning, Coach. And we parade our sin like Sodom and Gomorrah through Obergefell and Hodges. We slaughter the innocent through Roe versus Wade. And we think that God is winking his eye at this.
Yeah,
America is shaking its fist at God.
God bless America. God bless America. In God we trust. Are you kidding me? See, we're Christian agnostics. We're Christian agnostics. We call ourselves Christians. We don't even know what Christianity teaches. Somebody else.
Hey, Dave, Coach, sometimes we don't even have to be that intellectual. I mean, a lot of times I've just stood in their face and shook my head and saying, "Man, you don't know what you're doing." I mean, they need just someone to be a witness against them that they are wrong.
Amen, buddy.
We can't speak it perfect, Coach. We can still be there as a witness. That's what being a Christian is, a lot of, is just being a witness to wrong.
Randy, if you go back and read what I wrote today, just ask questions. Isn't that what Jesus did? Have you not heard? Is it not written? Jesus didn't tell people what to do. Oh, he did sometimes. But he appealed to their intellect to renew your mind. Stop thinking the way that you think. And as I sat in that gallery yesterday and looked down on that floor, I could not believe, where the mind of man goes unrestrained by the Spirit of God. If there is no standard of right and wrong, there is no right and wrong. It becomes an opinion. And we can't live like this, fellas.
Coach, and, did you see where that Stacey Abrams down there, the one that was running for governor in Georgia, come out there running her mouth saying that the heartbeat bill was evil, but yet she campaigned and said her parents are United Methodist pastors.
Both of them. Both of them, United Methodist pastors, and stopping abortion's evil. See, that's the word, isn't it? Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. We're in the midst of that, folks. Everybody's, well, not everybody. Yeah, I guess this is amazing. They opened up yesterday in the House with a prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. And those God haters did not stand up for the prayer nor for the pledge. And they're the ones who are controlling the direction of our nation. You get me? You hear me? They're in control. Their values are ruling in the halls of Congress, baby. It ain't our values. Something's wrong. We're supposed to be salt, light. We have to amp up our game. That's what we're going to talk about this week and this weekend up in Canton. Get there, man. Get there. Get there. Be glad you did. Hey, Austin, I've got a ticket for you. If you and your wife can get up there, it's on me. Go ahead. Somebody else, help me wrap this thing up.
Coach, we've had a little over 4 decades of whitewash. We've been sitting at the table with a white linen cloth over it. And basically what you've done for me and what this Q has done for me is we've been able to peel back that white linen cloth and look underneath, and we're all sitting around naked. And that's what, and once we get exposure to this, then our eyes are opened. And that's basically the way I see it.
And Kevin, we are living under their rules. Wake up, people! We are living under their rules. They say we're trying to force them to live under ours. No, they're making us live under theirs. But Jesus is coming, right? Jesus is coming. We win in the end. 56-40. We won yesterday. I can tell you that. Somebody else. Come on. Couple minutes left. Help me bring us on.
Hey, Coach, you know, early in the show, you talked about we're supposed to be the light of the world.
Yeah.
And I just feel compelled to mention to folks out there that back when that was written, they didn't have searchlights and narrow focused beams. The purpose of a light back then, especially in aspects of warfare, was at the end of the day when it got dark, you would build a big fire in the middle of your camp on top of a hill so your injured and lost soldiers could find their way back.
Wow, Larry. What a picture that is, huh? We're the light of the world. We're a lighthouse on a hill calling people to come home. Come home. America, come back home, America. Come back home. Come back to God. Come back, America. Come back. We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. I'm sick and tired of living under everybody else's rules. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.